one Twizzler, two Twizzlers left if anybody's hungry. Oh, they're yours. How did they end up over here? Did you bring enough for the rest of the class, Mike? And Warren, come on. What's up with this, huh? Don't you realize how much I need all the space? Just for that, because he did what he did, you're all here for an extra hour. Exactly. Nice. Funny guy in the back. It's time to bring back the dunce cap. So, is anybody here a member of a club or organization? For instance, say a service club like the Lions or Kiwanis or Rotary? What are they? Odd Fellows? Is that what it's called? Now, I'm going to be good. Anybody who joins a club called Odd Fellows just deserves what he's going to get. But or perhaps a club where, based on your age, plus a little bit in the way of dues, get you in, like AARP. Was it 55 now? It seemed to me they kept lowering the age.
They have. They sent me stuff.
All I know is as they race down, I race up. So I'll be able to do that soon, too. Or perhaps because of a hobby or a cause or a passion, like the NRA or PETA. Anybody a membership, something like that? I'm in the NRA, I'll admit it. When we got our 22s, I figured it'd be good to be with an organization that even looks at gun safety. Or maybe a club or organization or group that you're implicitly a member of because of an experience or an accomplishment in your life. Kind of like an Olympic athlete. Especially an Olympic athlete that has gotten a gold medal. They do seem like a special group. As soon as they say it, there's some standing or awe that's around them. Although I still don't buy snowboarding being anything. Anything when basically just after you get out of diapers you can win a gold medal isn't a sport. Not enough reaction from the young'uns. Or perhaps a veteran. Isn't it just kind of automatic if you've served in the armed forces that they definitely do it on applications. And especially if you're, say, a veteran with a Purple Heart.
Yeah, but you also got to remember there's also a lot of negative connotations to veterans now.
There was even worse at Vietnam. Yeah. But the reality is now, especially, and I've traveled a lot, so I see how people treat them, there is a special implicit group, club, whatever. And it's even greater if you've had to give more than just, like I just served. And I almost cringe when they ask if I'm a veteran because I don't want to lie and say no, but I'm not a veteran like a lot of the boys over in Iraq or Afghanistan are now, especially ones who come back missing limbs. And sometimes, actually, you can kind of be a member of a club just by buying something. The week before last, because just having one vehicle was working out to be problematic, and it was cheaper than, or more reliable, slightly cheaper than buying a used car for the same price, I bought a Harley Davidson 2006 Sportster Classic. And I know that he didn't technically say it meant that I'm a member of a club, but John at RC Cycles, and I didn't buy it from him, but I was having him do the oil change. He made a comment twice to me the couple times I was over there, and he said that I'd entered a new world. And as part of that, by the way, I told my beautiful wife, I said that as somebody who now owns a Harley, I have to do one of three things. I either have to get a tattoo, grow a beard, or shave my head. Sadly, instead of choosing one of those options, she came up with a fourth option, something about selling the Sportster. So I think I'll just go ahead with plain Allen as it is now. But you got to admit, it is true that the people who own a Harley motorcycle or an Apple computer you know what I'm saying here, that they often feel part of a special group, and they actually treat each other like that, right? And if two guys with an Apple look over somebody with a Windows computer, right? Can you believe that Neanderthal with his Windows computer? Even worse if it's a netbook, right? Mikey and I do that all the time with our Apple computers, don't we? And if they talk too loud, we break out our iPhones. And, and considering how prolific that Apple computers are, and Harley Davidson motorcycles, they're actually pretty well purchased now. They're all over. And especially considering someone like myself, the Apple computer is supplied by a nonprofit I help, and the Harley, for all I know, in a month I might have to sell it just to feed the family. It doesn't make sense to get that kind of sense of status because they are nothing, right? Now, there are some clubs that are real, put in quotes, real clubs, where a member definitely gets a sense of special standing. Usually it translates to either the person having a lot of money and or being born in the right family and or having some other characteristic that makes you, we'll put in quotes, elite. For instance, you have a hit record, although I suppose it only lasts so long, depending on, it's a one-hit wonder. With many of these clubs, not only does your status and money get you membership, but they give you a place to go where you don't have to mix with the commoners. Other than, you know, the worst you have to do is you might have to pass by them on the way in, but those commoners aren't allowed in because they don't rate. Now, I'm gonna step out on a limb here and just guess that nobody here fits that last category. Anybody in a club that you had to say pay $30,000 a year in, and like the Monadnock Country Club? No, I don't know what they are. But even knowing better as a Christian, do you kind of wish that you had some special status, something that would make you famous and popular, that would make other people look up to you and want to be you? I mean, good or bad, isn't it normal to want to be special? Isn't that normal? Now, in case you were wondering why I have exclusive clubs and Harley Davidsons and stuff like that on the mind, earlier this week, and let's turn together, I started reading 2 Peter, and let's look at how it starts off. So I'll turn to 2 Peter. For those having trouble finding it, it's after 1 Peter. That's all I'm helping. After that, it means Camille has to start singing in the books. So it's right after Hebrews. So what I do in the New Testament, I mentioned before, there's certain books that are pretty big. So Hebrews is a pretty big book. So usually it's easy to find Hebrews. There are a lot of books that I think of, like Timothy, that are just before, and then other ones like Peter that are just after. Are we there? Simeon Peter, or some say Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but it's very easy for me to quickly read over the salutations in a lot of the letters in the New Testament, rush past them to get to the meat of the book, because they're just perfunctory. It's like looking at the top of the letter, Dear Reviewer, or Dear Sally. I mean, what does it say? So I go past the salutations very quickly. For some reason, this time I actually slowed down enough to read it, and something jumped out to me. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Now, isn't that kind of incredible if you think about it? Here we have an apostle, and not just any apostle. Peter was part of the inner three, Peter, James, and John. Transfiguration. I mean, if you look at how Jesus did it, he broke the apostles. I mean, well, the scripture kind of shows the apostles broke into kind of four groups of three. This was the primary group. And Peter himself often got special attention, and I might argue was numero uno in that group. Yet, here we have him saying, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. And on my paper right here, you can see I have the letters W-O-W exclamation point. Wow! That reference made me feel special. How about you? Does that make you feel special at all? Now, does your status as a Christian make you feel special? Part of an exclusive group? Should it? And we're going to try to answer that question together as we go through the next hour and 15 minutes, an hour of which we're thinking, who am I blaming for it again? Somebody did something. Scott! It was Scott, the wise guy in back. No, but we're in the next 15 minutes, we're going to try to quickly go and see what Scripture says about whether or not we should feel like we have special standing. And one of the approaches that I took was to look at other New Testament salutations. I skipped the Gospel and Acts because they're more history than they are letters, although Luke and Acts were definitely written to a person, Theophilus. First stop, then, if you skip those, would be Romans. So let's look to Romans, and we're going to look at Romans 1, verse 7. Romans 1, verse 7. Romans 1, verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. In that one sentence, you, everybody sitting here, is referred to as loved by God and called to be saints, which means two things. One, that you are called, and two, that you are saints. And let's not underestimate the word saint. I think that we throw the word around a lot like the word hero. The word saint actually means something. And in the Complete Word Study Dictionary New Testament, what it says about the underlying Greek word, which I transliterated, it looks like hagios, something like that. H-A with a little funky thing above it, G-I-O-S. Any matter of religious awe, expiation, sacrifice, holy, set apart, sanctified, consecrated, saint. It has a common root, chaste, pure. Its fundamental idea is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of deity, sharing in God's purity, and abstaining from earth's defilement. So saint isn't some minor little word to have thrown around. And by the way, if we did go through all the other salutations, we'd see the word a lot when referring to us. Now we know that you have a faith of equal standing, are loved by God, are called, and are saints. Do you feel special now? Now, not every salutation in the New Testament has something that is applicable to this talk. For instance, some are directed at people instead of the church, 1 and 2 Timothy. However, let's look at a couple more that do. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 through 3, which means just go one more book. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 through 3. We don't really need three, but I always like the wrap-up. I like the blessing that comes with the labeling. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who, by the way, say the word saints again, with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch the new thing that was added to our list? You're kind of what you get from membership. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, you could argue, from what I read about saint, that it's somewhat redundant, but I like hearing it separately. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Do you feel special now? Sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus. Colossians, let's turn quickly there. Colossians adds another thing. Go to Colossians 1, 1 and 2. there. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints, listen to that again, and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. You have a faith of equal standing with that of an apostle. You are loved by God. You are called. You are saints. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And from Colossians, you are faithful brothers in Christ. And obviously he means brothers and sisters. Do you feel lonely, like you're not part of a club? You're part of a club of faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, to save time, since I didn't know that Scott was going to make some kind of wisecrack that would deserve a long lesson, we're going to skip going through the rest of the salutations. But if you were to go through the rest on your own, for instance, you'll find James basically says you are part of the new Israel by referring to you as part of the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Isn't it nice to be called part of Israel? Or Peter in 1 Peter says that you are elect exiles, again, in the dispersion. Elect exiles. And I could have spent some time in the sermon talking a little bit about, you'll see the term exiles there. You'll hear sojourners somewhere else about what that means. But I wanted this to focus on your unique membership, not necessarily on the requirements of that unique membership. But that's a pretty incredible word itself. And Jude not only reminds you that you are called, that's another word that shows up a lot about us, but says you are beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. That you are beloved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. Do you feel special now? Well, you should feel special. But we've only scratched the surface of what the Bible tells you about your membership in the exclusive club of Christianity. And I hesitate saying exclusive because we could spend some time talking about what it means. But you're either in or out, so it is exclusive. People can't sneak in. There's a set requirement. Luckily, it's a requirement available to all, but it is exclusive. You're either in or you're out. There's no sneaking in on your own terms. Let's look at this letter, part of a letter that Paul wrote to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. My calibrated fingers aren't working right. Actually, it's the calibration of my brain that's the problem, not my fingers. So technically, he's finished the salutation, and this is what he says after that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You get the idea that we're being blessed yet? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Blessed us in the beloved. You were chosen, and that was before the foundation of the earth. You were predestined. You are adopted as sons and daughters. You are adopted. Do you feel special now? Sticking with Paul a little bit longer, let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Are you there? Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. You are sons of God, and not just sons of God who can call Him Abba. It's not minor, it's not daddy, don't make me cringe again, but it is an intimate term for father. You are children of God. You are heirs. Don't just think about that. There's some children who don't get what dad has because dad doesn't like them, right? You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And I know that the first two bullets in that list may seem redundant based on what we've discussed early in the sermon, but once again, do you feel special now? You felt special right from the beginning, Warren. I saw that. We could continue on with Paul, but instead let's return to Peter. And I think this is my last reference. Return to Peter, and this is for what I would call the money verses when it comes to your special status in the exclusive club of being a Christian. You should be familiar with these verses because I've used at least part of them quite often. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And I think you'll soon see why I call these the money verses when it comes to your special status. Yeah, maybe it's 1 Peter. I'm sorry. Have I done that again? Yes, sorry. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I think I had 2 Peter on the brain because that's the one I was... 1 Peter 9, 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, do you see why I call them money verses? Because from them, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for His own possession. You are God's people. You are sojourners and exiles. And by the way, and it again said that you were called. Do you feel special now? Well, you should, because if you don't, you've been sleeping. And actually, some of you have. I think it's the warmth. You should feel special because, short of being asleep for the whole sermon, you have been given ample evidence of your extraordinary, not great, not neat or whatever, but your extraordinary standing that is far better than anything that the earth has to offer. Even better, hard as it is to believe, than owning a Harley Davidson or an Apple computer. Even better than a membership in any and the most exclusive club anywhere. And to prove it, if you were sleeping, or to confirm it and cement it, if you weren't, let's do the whole list right now. Ready? Take quick notes. You have a faith of equal standing. And we could have stopped there. To have an apostle of God tell me that I have a faith of equal standing, it's pretty slick. You are loved by God. You are called. You are saints. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. You are part of the new Israel. You are elect exiles of the dispersion. You are beloved in God the Father and kept for Christ Jesus. You are chosen and before the foundation of the earth. You were predestined. You are adopted as sons and daughters. You are sons of God who can call him Abba. You are children of God. You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You are God's people. You are sojourners and exiles. Do you feel special now? Well, you should. Like many memberships, you actually had to be sponsored to get in, and someone had to pay your membership fee. And this sponsorship wasn't based on anything you or I, anything that we did, or anything special about us. We did nothing, and we had nothing to offer. And it was a membership fee that was very, very costly to the one who paid for it. Jesus chose to pay it. Jesus chose you. You are special.